Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
I didn't earn it, and I don't deserve it, but oh, the reckless love of God. Amen. Oh, Heritage, do you smell the rain? Yes, we smell the rain. God is present with us. It's been a beautiful service even thus far. I'm full enough we could go home right now, but Pastor Fry, we won't. Okay. All right. I am going to spend the next several months trying to get to know you in any way that I can. And so I thought that it would be fair if I'm trying to get to know you that I could share about me. And so today I'm going to share with you my testimony. And next week, I'm a little bit prejudiced, but you're going to hear Pastor Jim give his testimony, and you won't want to miss that. It will touch you. My grandma and Grandpa Retcher were married for 68 years. My grandma gave her heart to Jesus at a Church of the Brethren, and my grandpa was Lutheran. Oh, did my grandpa love his Lutheran church. He loved his Lutheran pastor. I think he had the same pastor over 40 years. And anyway, he just loved the Lutheran church. They had 10 children. My dad is number 3 of 10, okay? My grandpa, all he knew was hard work. He worked at a factory for decades. He also had a farm that they ran. And so when he, this is his Bible, and if you can see, it's duct taped. That's what farmers do. They duct tape their Bibles. They don't get a new one. So he was challenged some year at the Lutheran church to read through the Bible in a year. And I believe he told me that he read through it in 9 months. He was kind of an overachiever. And then he said, I liked it so well, I just kept reading it. And if you look, I'm being very careful with this because it's about to fall apart. And I've borrowed this. And he would ask, when Jim and I would visit from Michigan, he would bring out a verse and he'd say, what do you guys think about this? And we would dig a little deeper. There's a giving statement in here, and why I'm telling you that is, my Grandpa Retcher said that when the kids were small, he didn't have the money to give to the church like he wanted to. So when the kids were grown, he decided to give 40% of his income to the church to make up for that. And he had pigs, and he would donate a pig once or twice a year, and they would have pancake and sausage dinners. And then the church would raise that money. He also gave each grandkid a pig. Now, not to raise, okay? He butchered the pig, and we got the money for that pig. And that money was put in the bank as the beginning of my savings account that went towards our wedding and our college. And so that's very special to me. My grandma was a homemaker. My goodness, both my grandmas were a homemaker. Their houses were spotless. Can you imagine doing laundry for 12 people? I mean, that just blows my mind. And so I come from one grandparent, 68 years. Then there were Grandma and Grandpa Fry. Grandma was raised Pentecostal. Grandma Jude, her dad, who I didn't get to meet, I was born just a couple weeks after he passed. He was a Pentecostal preacher. They met at a revival, I'm told. My Grandpa Fry was from Canton, Ohio, and Grandma was from Northwest Ohio. Grandma and Grandpa Fry were married 69 years. Isn't that amazing? Grandpa Fry was an adult teacher. He had a wonderful ear for music. He taught me how to sing harmony by singing in my ear, and I would match his pitch And I was little. I was like 8, 9, and 10. And he knew every part, and he would sing it in your ear, and you would match his pitch. He always had a testimony to share. He was kind of took the lead on the singing group that I'm going to talk about in just a little bit. And my grandma Jude, she was a prayer warrior. She didn't just talk about prayer, she prayed. I believe today with all my heart, Pastor Fry, that you are Pastor Fry because of all those prayers that were placed on you. And so just the heritage that I come from, I am just really, really proud of. They met at a revival. This Bible is Grandpa's Bible. It says July 3rd, 1943. This Bible was when my Grandpa Fry served in World War II. And so I have to give this one back, I think, but this one gets to stay in my office. My parents were high school sweethearts. They're still in love. How many years did you just celebrate last week? 58. My parents just celebrated 58. One of the best things that they did for me is they loved each other. And so, were they perfect? No. Was their marriage perfect? No. But did we ever doubt that they loved each other? No. They respected each other. They loved God. Our little Methodist church, I have memories. My dad was on the board. My dad was the Sunday school superintendent. Do you remember when we had Sunday school superintendents? Some of us do. My mom led the youth group and led the youth group and led the youth group. In Northwest Ohio, they TP houses. Do they do that here? Yeah, you're okay. Well, when you lead the youth group, they love to TP your house. I can't tell you how many weekends the youth group TP'd our house, and me and Tam would get our trash bags and walk, you know, and pick up all the toilet paper. And I used to think, why do they still think this is funny when I'm walking, you know, picking up all the toilet paper? They would stop at our house late at night. Mom would say, shouldn't you guys be going home? It would be about 10. Mom said, as long as we're at your house, we can stay as long as we want. I liked it when they came over because I didn't have to go to bed right at bedtime. Mom led VBS. It was always, she put her all into it. She was fun. She was an adult teacher. She also was asked to fill the pulpit when the pastor wasn't there. So I have wonderful memories of that early church. 1970, May 16th, I was born. My mom and dad were in the delivery room. That makes sense, right? And so there was also someone. There was also someone pacing the hallway, okay? That someone pacing the hallway was Pastor Fry or Uncle Bob. He was 20, and he was on leave from the Navy. So the nurse said to my mom, honey, this is your husband? And she said, yes. And she said, would you tell me who the nervous man in the hallway is? She said, my brother. And the nurse said, oh, good. Pastor Fry or Uncle Bob was trying to meet me. I was born a few minutes after midnight, and he had to, I believe, check in by 8 a.m. the next morning. So he wanted to see me before he went back in the Navy. 20 years old. My early church experiences were just wonderful. We had a Methodist church. I loved Sunday school. I loved junior church. I loved learning all those stories. Did anybody here get stars when you went to Sunday school? You had a chart and you got a star. I know this is weird, but I love those stars. I didn't want any of those stars missing. But you know, that's my heritage. This is my first Bible. Now, I noticed when I got this out, it's duct taped also, because I guess my dad was a farmer's son. And it said I was given this Bible at age 4. From my mom and dad. And so this is the little Bible that I would carry to church because you wouldn't go into battle without your sword, right? And so we would carry our Bibles to church. We had on our lot Our pastor lived on, we had 5 acres, and our pastor lived there. He put a trailer and built a homestead. I didn't know that was strange to have a pastor living on, you know, on your yard. I guess that isn't normal. It's kind of like we had our own Levite priest, right? And so it was so neat to just, we would just go over and talk to Reverend Kenny and Helen at any time. He would give godly advice because he was just down the road. And at age 7, after he preached, and I told you this a few weeks ago, it was a heaven and hell sermon. He said I could be saved any time, any place, anywhere. So that afternoon, on a Sunday afternoon at 7, I knelt down right where I was, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And it was real. And it was real. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then came when I was 8. Pastor Fry went to the Navy. Grandma was sure it was the end of Pastor Fry, and so she began to pray. She was afraid he was going to get a taste of the world and go bad. Instead, he came home, saved, and called to preach. So he was preaching at a revival, and he said to my mom and her 2 brothers and grandpa and grandma, he said, I want you to sing before I preach. So they did, and then they just started getting phone calls. Will you sing here? Will you sing here? They bought a few microphones, and so for 16 years, 50 concerts a year, we recorded 5 albums over that time. Over 1,000 lives came to an altar of prayer and gave their heart to Jesus. And why I'm holding this up is I believe one of the very big reasons that I am here today, our microphone wasn't this cool back then, I'll just tell you, is because of the Singing Fry family. It raised me because I learned how to talk to give a testimony. I learned how to sing, not just for a song or to be on the stage. I learned how to sing to Jesus. I learned how it changed our lives. The Singing Fry family really got it together while we were singing on the road. I prayed for someone for the first time. I would pray for the kids. If someone would go up, I'd get so excited. And the first time I gave my testimony, I was scared to death. And then after that, God would show me something in the week, and he'd say, in my spirit, I want you to talk about this Sunday. And then I couldn't wait until it was my turn to talk about Jesus. And I wanted to be, if I was going to sing, I wanted to be real. I didn't want to be fake. I didn't want to be someone that lived like the world on some days and then got up here and lived for Jesus on those other. And we sang. This is what ministry is. You don't just sing and do your ministry when all is well. Because let's be honest, anybody have a life that's always well? No, life is messy. And when you are serving God, life continues to be messy, okay? And we sang when we were happy. We sang when we were sad. We sang when we were on the mountain. We sang when we were in the valley. We sang when we couldn't speak out loud and had a sore throat. My mom would say, Mom, I can't sing tonight. Open your mouth. God will take care of it. That's a little scary. Grandpa Fry thought some honey and tea and some fishermen's friends was all we needed in the Holy Spirit. So we sang through all that we went through. Let me tell you this funny story about Pastor Fry. We were singing in Waterloo. They already knew it was funny. I hadn't even told it yet. We were singing in Waterloo, Indiana. And for some reason, my dad wasn't on that trip, or I can tell you this wouldn't have happened. The van started smoking. Now, I was a kid and didn't know much about vans, but I knew smoking wasn't good. Next thing I knew, my grandpa's pouring some water in it. Yep, it'll be fine. This will cool it right down. It wasn't fine. We take off down the road. I don't know why these things happened at the same time, but the van started smoking. The back wheel where we were sitting started to come off its axle, okay? We looked out the window, and this is what the wheel was doing. And Grandpa got that thing to a stop before that wheel went all the way off of it. We are unloading the van by the highway. There are 17 of us. Semis are going by. Whoosh, whoosh. Well, you can't just say, so-and-so come. There's 17 of us that need a ride home. We happened to know someone at the church. They sent 3 or 4 cars to get us. They took us to a house, ordered pizza. We thought that part was great. We called Pastor Fry or Uncle Bob because Pastor Fry had turned Oakwood, Ohio upside down with this itty-bitty church that was just exploding. He started this bus ministry. That junior church was so full you couldn't even move. I was a part of that for a while. And so we said, what should we do? And they said, have Uncle Bob or Pastor Fry bring his school bus, so his church bus. So he comes, picks us up. We all load on the bus. Me and Cousin Ed go to the very back seat. We thought, well, this is fun. And I heard Grandpa say, Bob, bring your best bus. He said, oh, I am. So it was late at night. We're driving that bus. We're getting closer to home, about maybe 20, 25 minutes. Guess what happened to the bus? Stalled. He's kicking it, trying to get it going. He was sure he could get it going. Then someone had this idea. There's a semi behind us. Someone said, if that semi gives us a little push, Bob's like, I can kick the clutch in and get it going again. It happened. They go talk to the semi driver. I was in the back seat, me and Cousin Ed, and that semi got closer and closer and closer. Me and Ed ran to the front. That semi pushed us in neutral, kicked the clutch in, and got us home. Isn't that the best? After that, we quit. No, we didn't quit. What I'm telling you is, if God calls you to something, you do it in the good times and you do it in the bad times, and you do it when things are neat and tidy and you do it when things are messy. Amen. Pastor Fry also started a Christian school, and I was able to attend that for 2 years. I grew in the Lord at that Christian school. We memorized 3 verses every week. I will tell you that I memorized as a 5th grader the entire book of Philippians. And when I read Philippians, it is still in my heart. It is still in my heart as a 5th grader. I grew in the Lord. We ended up, the school had some financial trouble. We went back into the junior high and high school. I went from a class of 8 to a class of 209 and to a junior high of 600. A little bit different, right? It was a little bit different. But I took a stand for God. I didn't carry around the family Bible and pounce people on the head. But I lived for Jesus. Junior high kids and high school kids live for Jesus. What God did for me when I said no to certain things, I earned their respect. Now, I'm not dumb. I'm sure they probably made fun of me behind the scenes. But I earned their respect because of the God that was living inside me. I was vice president of my class. I was president of the National Honor Society. And I was tempted. I said no, kids, because I didn't want to hurt my mom and dad who loved me so much. But most of all, I didn't want to hurt my Jesus. When we say no to stuff, let God be your conviction. When we say no to stuff because God puts that on our heart, or when we say yes to things that God puts us on our heart, do it because we don't want to hurt our Jesus that we love. I wanted a homecoming date my sophomore year. Looked around. There was that Jim Kelly. What had happened to him over the summer? I didn't think he was that tall, and I didn't think he was that blonde or that curly-haired. And I thought, he's scoring a few touchdowns. Well, Pastor Fry, I can get things done, too. I said, talk to a friend who talked to a friend who talked to a friend who said to Jim Kelly that Tanya Retcher might want to go to homecoming with you. We went to homecoming, had no idea on that date, had no idea, did we, what God was going to do. He wanted to hear me sing. I thought, oh no, he'll break up with me. Because, I mean, that we're fanatical in my family for Jesus. He didn't want to break up with me. The second time he came to hear me sing at North Cove Boulevard Church of God, when I was praying that God would allow people to come give their heart to Jesus, I wasn't even thinking of Jim. And I looked up and there he was. And there he was. We married young. We didn't want to date for 7 or 8 years. So we got married and we went to Anderson University. Jim first started out at Dayton as an engineer. Don't that sound nice, an engineer? He was listening to our singing tape in the afternoon. Is that love? I didn't even listen to our singing tape. He said, I've been called to preach. So he transferred to Anderson University. We married young and we were at Anderson. Did our first youth summer at First Church of God in Defiance. I was teaching kids that I was a year older, teaching their Sunday school class, and Jim was doing his first ministry. Then we went back to Anderson, and there was LaPel, Indiana, down the road, Ford Street United Methodist Church. We also did the youth there. That was where Jim said to me, okay, this is a team ministry. I'm going to do the lesson tonight. You do the prayer groups. You do the lesson tonight. I'll do the prayer groups. You do this. And so we're doing this team ministry. And it was on a Sunday morning, the only vision that I've ever had. I was sitting in that pew at Ford Street United Methodist Church at age 20. The pastor disappeared, and there was myself preaching. I mean, I wasn't just preaching. I was like preaching. And I'm ashamed to say to you, my first answer was no. God, church people will not accept that. This was a long time ago. And God, why do I need to fight people in tradition? I don't want to. And God, Jim's been called to preach. What's that going to do to him? So I didn't talk about it. I tell him everything, and I didn't tell him. A few weeks later, we were home for the weekend, and I just had kept all this inside of me. And Mom and I were alone, and I said, Mom, something happened to me. I said, Mom, I had a vision, and God called me to preach. And she said, I know. And I said, what? She said, I've known that since you were a little girl. And I said, why didn't you tell me? She said, God had to be the one to tell you. Amen. And so I stayed in my teaching because I felt that's what God wanted me to do. Jim graduated from college in 1991. We moved home for a time. Jim had two mentors fall from grace. One that we had served under had an affair with a woman that he was counseling and left his wife and kids. And the other mentor, I don't think it's appropriate to speak of what happened to him. And so Jim, having two godly men in his life that fell, he walked away from God. He didn't even know that he wanted to serve God. So I've got this man that's called to preach. He's going to church, but he's only going with me. He was disappointed. I was on a walk. I've always been an exerciser, and I was on a walk, and I felt like God put on my spirit to start a Bible study with 7 women. I said to my sister Tammy, I think you're supposed to teach it. 7 of us got together. We did Charles Lake Discipleship. Charles Lake Discipleship means you record everything you read, everything you pray. It's a 7-day accountability. And this is the Bible that I was reading and praying and digging into every single day. It was through that program I memorized the entire Psalm 139. We did it week by week. I mean, I got grounded in God. And I also wanted my man to come back to God. I was praying over him. Ephesians 1:18. Now, I was only praying this over him while he was asleep because I wasn't sure he would let me while he was awake. If you're praying for a loved one, Ephesians 1:18. I pray the eyes, I would say, of Jim's heart may be enlightened in order that Jim may know the hope to which he has called Jim, the riches of the glorious inheritance in his holy people. I had several. If you have a lost one that you are praying for, put their name right in that scripture because you're speaking truth all over them. Keep a journal and pray it. He didn't know I was doing this. He said to me months later, man, I love Ephesians 1:18. And I said, huh, you do. Wonder why? Our Ashley was born, and Jim went totally back to God. Our preacher said to him, oh, young Jim, keep your eyes off man, because they'll let you down. Remember, and he said, you look to God, and he'll supply everything that you need. From there, we pastored a Methodist youth group in Paulding. I'm telling you, we had some ornery Methodist youth groups, didn't we, Jim? Now, maybe that's not why, but yeah, we earned our money there. We were just doing our own thing, working hard at the Methodist church. We get a phone call from Pastor Fryer, Uncle Bob, that he had had a conversation with Dick Latham, which led to a ministry position in Lansing, Michigan. That was where Pastor Latham asked me to preach. He had 4 men on staff, and he asked me to preach. And I remember thinking, what is he doing? He saw something in me before I saw it in myself. We've been on staff at 6 different churches. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. We came home in 2008, you've heard us say, because Jim's dad was ill and not doing well, and we needed to be there for him. I felt we absolutely did the right thing, but when it came to ministry, I felt like I was benched. I felt like God took me out of the starting lineup and he put me on the bench. And I was teaching Sunday school and I was leading youth groups and I was filling pulpits. I was doing all that, but I didn't have a people to love. And when I minister, I need a group of people to love and to shepherd. And I would hear preachers complain about their jobs, and I'd hear them say things they shouldn't say, and I remember thinking, God, why'd you put me over here? I wasn't complaining about your people, and God, you know I want to serve. I remember when Jim's dad was dying, and he's an alcoholic, and I remember sitting there thinking, who on earth will preach his funeral? And God said, you are. God, that's a tough one. God said, you will. We took this grumpy old man, rough on the edges, addicted to alcohol, and we loved him anyway. You know, he treated me like I was his when we came back home. I would write his bills from his checkbook. I teased him one time and I said, Boy, I'm not used to numbers this big. He said, Tanya, someday you will. I put eye drops in his eye when his eye infection wouldn't go away. That grumpy alcoholic said to us, I love you. And he said, I appreciate what you've done for me. Oh, church, that was a miracle. I preached his funeral and talked about the love of Jesus. I applied. I'm going to bring it to a close. When I was sitting on the sideline, feeling like I had been benched and wondering what I did, God was taking me through my wilderness. Do you understand that? I had to determine that I really wanted ministry. And God was preparing me, I believe, with everything that I am for you. He was taking me through hard knocks and seeing what I was made of and if I really wanted it. And when God spoke on that, I think that third bench right there, when we were just visiting, it was like God said, everything that you have ever gone through up until today has been for such a time as this. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Let's live for Christ every day that he gives us, and someday we'll walk in his beautiful, glorious kingdom.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.